that's all man's nature. Long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, near to deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper, and the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still lives upon the throne, and I know the blood still reaches stain has gone. Conscious of that deep pollution, sinners wander in the night. Even though the shepherd's calling, still they tender consolation that should melt the heart of stone. This sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper, and the pain has gone. Well, praise the Lord. Still lives upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper, and the stain has gone. When with holy thrones we're standing in the presence of the King, and our souls are lost in wonder as that white robed choir sings, then we'll praise the name of Jesus with the millions round the throne. Praise him for the power that reaches deeper, than the stain has gone. Well, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord for full salvation. God still lives upon the throne, and I know pain has gone. Praise the Lord.
Thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the faithfulness of thy Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The way that thou hast met with us in this revival in every service this week, thou hast been here in a wonderful way. And our hearts are filled with praise to thy name tonight. And many respects, this could be a victory service as we rejoice and praise thee and thank thee for what thou hast done for us. But Lord, this could be somebody's last service, and it could be somebody's last opportunity to ever hear a gospel message. It could be the last time that thy servant would ever preach. And oh God, we ask tonight, move upon this congregation in a very special way. Touch the heart of the preacher, help him to preach with that unction that comes only from heaven. Then touch every heart that is here tonight, every man and woman and boy and girl and young person. Don't let one soul in this Sunday night service go to hell. But help every person who has a spiritual need of any kind, whatever it is, to be utterly honest with thee tonight.
Yes.
Oh, remove the sham and the veneer and the whitewash and the put on and the play church from us tonight. And may somehow we see ourselves as thou dost see us. Then may we obey as if we would never have another chance to do it. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. I'm reading tonight from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verse 23. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verse 23. The words of Jesus. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. One of the most important questions that faces the mind of every person here tonight is the question of what happens after death. Is there a life after death? If there is a life after death, what is it like? Here in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, we have Jesus' answer to that question. He answers that question by telling us about two men. How they lived, how they died, where they went when they died, and a little bit about the places that they went upon their death. Two men are enough, for there are just two ways to live. There are just two ways to die. There are just two places to go when we die. And in one of those two places, we all will spend eternity. The first man that Jesus introduces us to in the story tonight is a very wealthy man. We don't know his name. Some have chosen to call him Dives. We can call him that tonight for convenience. But whatever his name was, he was a wealthy man. He was clothed in purple, which was a sign of royalty. He must have either been the king or some member of the king's family. He was clothed in fine linen, which was an imported garment from a foreign country. Such a wealthy man he was, he could import the clothing that he wore. He fared sumptuously every day. His tables were laden with good things to eat. His horses were the best. His chariots were the finest. Everything that a man wanted, materially and physically, the rich man had it. Someone has rightly said, here is the picture of a man at his very best in this world. Couldn't ask for any more than the rich man had. Along with everything else, he had an opportunity laid at his gate in the form of a poor beggar by the name of Lazarus. I believe God is faithful. God is faithful to give to every man at least one opportunity. Anything beyond that is an extension of the love and mercy and grace of God. But he gives to every man at least one opportunity. I believe this revival meeting has been thrown across somebody's pathway that's in this Sunday night service is God's opportunity for you. This was the last opportunity that the rich man had. And this service tonight, this revival meeting, this Sunday night service could well be God's last opportunity for somebody that's in the service tonight. There lay poor old Lazarus. He didn't sit at a banquet table. He begged for crumbs. It fell off of the rich man's table, but he didn't get that much to eat. He had sores all over his body, possibly a result of his malnutrition. He didn't even have salve to doctor his sores. The only solution he had to cool the pain of his sores was the dog saliva. As they came to lick his sores, there he lay, poor, rejected, friendless beggar, Lazarus it was. Someone is rightly said, here's the picture of a holy man
at his very worst in this world. You couldn't be much lower down physically and materially than poor old Lazarus was. But the Bible says that he died. Didn't say that he was buried, just said he died. They may not have given him a decent funeral, I don't know. They might have just dug a hole somewhere and thrown poor old Lazarus in it. But I tell you this, my friend, Lazarus had the best coat of pallbearers I've ever heard of. The Lord said to a band of angels yonder in the glory world, get ready, angel band, go down there and on your snowy wings bear Lazarus away to this land of joy and bliss and peace. Thank God. For God's people, my friend, there's a better world than this one. Hallelujah. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And for God's people to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. One minute he was laying at the rich man's gate. The next minute he was entering through gates of pearl to walk down streets of gold. Well, then he had sores all over his body. No sign to doctor his sores. The next minute he is in a land where he'll never be sick again. He won't need any medicine to doctor his sores. Thank God. One minute he had no friends. The next minute he is in a land surrounded by friends and saints and angels. Hallelujah. For God's people, my friend, there's a better world than this one. Hallelujah. I got a call from my mother 10 years ago. I was in Valdosta, Georgia, in a revival meeting. My mother said, son, your dad is very sick. I said, how sick do you think he is, mother? Very sick, son. If you want to see your dad alive, you better come as quickly as you can. I flew to my dad's bedside, and there lay my old praying, shouting daddy. For 42 years of his life, he had been a drunkard and a thief and a gambler. But for the last 25 years of his life, was the holiest man I ever knew. When I walked in that hospital room, I knew I'd never see my dad out of that room alive. I don't know how to describe the feeling that I had. I just felt like I'd never see him out of that hospital room alive. And sure enough, I didn't. On Monday night, he began to go gradually down. Tuesday morning at daybreak, just as the sun began to come up, that band of angels came and carried my old daddy over there to those golden shores of sweet deliverance. And while I'm preaching here tonight, it ran to church. Daddy's over there shouting the victory. Hallelujah. His funeral was more like a camp meeting than it was a funeral. I know of 3 grown men that got saved just as a result of being at Daddy's funeral. I stood to testify, and I said to the pastor, Pastor, you'll have to pardon me, but I've just got to testify. Sure, there was a human sorrow. We miss them whether they're ready to go or not. But down underneath the sorrow, there was a joy. He had made it in. He was safe in the arms of Jesus. He was beyond the tempting snares of the devil. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We followed his casket to the cemetery, but I didn't pat the casket and say goodbye, Daddy. It wasn't goodbye. It was good night down here, but good morning up there where the Lamb is the light. Good morning up there where cometh no night. Thank God. For God's people, my friend, there's a better world than this one. Hallelujah. Bless my old daddy's memory. He used to shout us to sleep at night and pray us awake in the morning. He'd lay in bed at night and sing and shout and praise the Lord. The next morning we'd wake up to the tune of him praying. One of the songs Daddy used to sing quite often, he didn't have too beautiful a voice. It wasn't quite as good as Dave Pangle's, but sure did sound good to us as children. Dad used to sing, there waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide. When I pass this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when. The fields of mortal life shall all stand still. I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Thank God. For God, people, my friend, there's a better world than this one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But Jesus said the rich man also died. Everybody's going to die. the rich and poor alike, we all are going to die. I don't know whether you faced the fact of the cemetery recently or not, friend. If you haven't, you better face it, and you better face it now, for you are going to die. Say, preacher, I don't like to think about that. You're going to die whether you think about it or not. You are going to die. The time to think about it's now. Not when you come to that hour. My wife was taken very seriously ill to the hospital a few years ago. The first thing they did when they got her to the hospital was put two shots in her arm. For a number of days, she was not in her normal consciousness. When she did revive the consciousness, we were standing to the side of the bed. She said to me, "Honey, I'm glad I had things fixed up with God when I came into this hospital the other day." But she said, "After I got here, they got those shots in my arm. I realize now if I'd have been a sinner, if I'd have been lost, I'd have had to die without God. I was too sick, I was too busy dying to pray." She said, "As you go over the country, honey, tell people not to wait till they come to an hour like that to pray. They better pray while they've got their right mind and right hand pray. The wretch man also died and was buried. They probably gave him a big funeral. The celebrities of the town were no doubt there. They probably talked about what a great man he was and how much money he'd given to charity. What a great charitable man he was. I don't know what the preacher said about him, but that doesn't make a lot of difference, friend. Doesn't make a lot of difference what the preacher says. The thing that really matters is what God says, and God said it. God wrote it in this blessed holy book so I can read it this Sunday night for my text. It's this man's epitaph. God wrote this man's epitaph. God said, I don't know what the preacher said, but God said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. There are some people that tell us there is no hell. A woman stood at my door one day with some papers under her arm. She said, "Would you like to buy one of my papers?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "If you don't want to buy one of the papers, I'll give it to you." I said, "I wouldn't have it if you gave it to me." I said, "You're a Jehovah's Witness, and you people teach there is no hell. I don't even want your literature in my house around my family." She looked at me and kind of smart like, she said, "Well, is there a hell?" With all the kindness I could muster, yet the firmness of the Word of God behind me, I said, "Lady, unless you repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll find out whether there's a hell or not before you're dead 5 minutes. For regardless of what Jehovah's Witness or modernistic preachers may say, there is a burning, blistering, eternal hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." And Jesus had more to say about hell than he said about heaven, for more people are going there. Many of the things that we think are so important in this world will be missing in hell. First of all, in hell there will be no friends. Hell will be full of people, but there will be no friends in hell. They tell us every 60 seconds, 87 people go into eternity. Since this service began tonight, just an hour ago, since this service began, 5,000 people have gone out into eternity. But in all the regions of hell, the billions and billions of people that will be in hell, there will not be one friend in hell. A young man went to a church where, when the invitation was given, they would come to invite him to the altar. Friend, if you have anybody that invites you to the altar during the altar call, you better mark that person down as the dearest friend you have on the face of this earth. But he didn't appreciate it. He resented it. One day, he was standing around in a group of men. He said, "Where can I go to get away from all these people that talk to me about God? I go to church and they bother me. I come home and my mother talks to me. How can I go to get away from all these people?" A man standing in the crowd said, "Young man, you can go to hell. There'll be no Christians in hell to bother you. If you want to be left alone, friend, wait a while. If you don't want anybody bothering you, just wait a while. Nobody will bother you in hell, for they won't care in hell. There'll be no friends." In hell, there'll be no children. If this were the only thing about hell, I wouldn't want to go to hell. I love children. I love everybody's children. I especially love my own. Most of my life, I've lived separated from my children. For the last 13 or more years that I've been in the majors, many a night in these 13 years, I'd have given a $20 bill just to have my children put their arm around my neck and say good night. I live most of my life away from my children. You say, Brother McCullough, why do you do it? I tell you frankly, friend, I wouldn't do it for $200,000 worth of money a year. I've done it because God called me to be an evangelist. And part of that means that I have to be separated from my children. And I'm willing to be separated from them down here with the hope of being united with them over there. Amen. So I can go over this country and help some mothers and dads to get right with God, so you won't have to be separated from yours forever. My God, my God. Man was sitting on the couch recently. Little boy was laying on the couch beside him. The man was watching his favorite TV program. His little boy was crying. The father became angry because the child kept crying and wouldn't stop. Finally, the father doubled up his big bully fist and beat that little boy to death in the stomach. Left him laying on that couch dead while he finished watching his program. But in hell, that man will wish a million times he could hear that baby cry one more time. There are some of you here tonight that have had to bury little children. Your arms have felt empty many times. You wished you had a bite. You've thought again and again, oh, how I wish I had a bite. How I could just hold them one more time and draw them close to me. Let me tell you, if you ever want to see those children, you better go to heaven if you have to crawl. Whatever the price you have to pay to get there, you better go, whatever the price. But in hell, there'll be no little children. In hell, there'll be no love. The most basic desire of the human heart is to love and to be loved. The worst feeling you ever had is to feel like nobody cares. I don't care how much you feel that way in this world, somebody cares. If nobody else cares, God cares, but in hell, man, it's going to be a gruesome reality. Nobody cares for your soul in hell. Nobody in the hell will love you. You say, preacher, the devil will. No, he won't. All he wants to do drag you off to hell and then laugh at you because you listen to his lies. And the louder you scream, the more he'll laugh and mock at you. And the more you die of thirst, and you keep dying and dying, but you never really die. And you wish you could get away from it and just die once and for all, but it'll be one eternal death without an end. And you just keep dying, and you keep dying, and you keep dying, and you keep dying, and you keep dying, but you never really die. And in that eternal death, you'll scream for mercy. You'll wish somebody cared for you, and the devil will just laugh at you, and the devil will mock at you and laugh at you because you listen to his lies. For in hell, there'll be no love. A teenage girl whose mother died without God said to me one day, Brother McCullough, if my mother went to hell, I want to go to hell too. I said, no, you don't, Nancy. For if your mother went to hell, she won't be your mother in hell. There'll be no mother's love in hell. There'll never be a meal around the table with the family. Never a friendly handshake. Never a pat on the back. Never a feeling like anybody cares. In hell, there'll be no love. In hell, there'll be no light. The Bible pictures hell as outer darkness. I shall never forget the time many years ago I was preaching on the subject of outer darkness. It dawned on me what outer darkness really meant. Friend, I've never been the same since. You say, Brother McCullough, what is outer darkness? Exactly what the Bible says it is. Outside the lights of mercy. Outside the lights of home. Outside the lights of the church. outside the lights of revival meeting, the door of mercy forever closed, and you left outside in the dark. Say, I'm not afraid of the dark, preacher. Oh, yes, you will be, friend, when God makes it dark. God made it dark one time in human history for 3 days in Egypt. They sat in their places for 3 days and didn't move for fear of that dark. When God makes it dark, it's awfully dark. There's something about darkness that brings memory. You get along with your conscience pretty well in the daytime, but darkness seems to start your conscience to work. We got a lady, a letter from a lady just this week, a lady in Illinois, who's a backslider away from God. She stated in the letter, among the other things, the woes of a sinner, the misery of a soul lost without God. Among other things, she said, preacher, in the darkness of the night, I can hardly stand it. For she said, there's something about the night time that I fear. I dread the darkness. I just can't quite live through darkness. There's something about darkness that makes me afraid. And in hell, it'll be dark. It'll be awfully dark. Not a twinkle of a star in the sky. Never a light to come on. Not even a ray of light will come through the crevices in hell. Not one ray of light for eternity. It'll be dark. It'll be dark. It'll be dark. It'll be dark. In the darkness of hell, you'll remember. You'll remember this revival. You'll remember this preacher. You'll remember every sermon you've ever heard me preach. You'll remember the songs you've heard from Pangle sing. You'll remember this pulpit. What is that? That looks like a pulpit with some flowers in front of it. That must be the pulpit back there around the church. Somebody preached me a sermon. But it won't be that pulpit. It'll be your memory in hell haunting you. What's that? That looks like a piano. Somebody play a song. God is saying. But it won't be the piano. It'll be your memory in hell haunting you. Who's that? That looks like Brother Pangle. Brother Pangle sing me a song. I'll get saved. But it won't be Dave Pangle. It'll be your memory in hell. Who's that? That looks like Forrest McCullough. That preacher from Tullahoma. Oh, Brother McCullough, come and preach a sermon. And I'll get saved. But it won't be Forrest McCullough. It'll be your memory in hell. Hallelujah. What's that? That looks like the altar back at Radnor Church. Let me get to the altar and I'll get saved. But oh, it won't be these altars. It'll be your memory in the hell haunting you. For in the darkness of hell, you'll remember. In hell, there'll be no pleasure. The Bible said the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace. Saith God to the wicked. The devil's a terrible master. You sell your soul to the devil for the pleasures of this old world, and you get to hell, the devil takes them away from you. There'll be no dance floors in hell. There'll be no liquor distilleries in hell. There'll be no tobacco factories in hell. My God, there'll be no pleasure in hell. You'll long for it, you'll crave it, you'll still want it, but you can't find it. For in hell, there'll be no pleasure. In hell, there'll be no water. The rich man in hell screamed out. Father Abraham, have mercy.
thirsty a few times in my life. I've really been thirsty.
I've drawn some glass of water and I dipped my fingers.
Touched it to the tongue. Couldn't even tell it was there.
I've tried to imagine a man being so thirsty. His mouth being so dry, his lips being so parched, his tongue being so swollen, his entire system so dehydrated that he had met from the tip end of a beggar's finger, that he had starved to death, just dipped into some water, touched his tongue, but he didn't get that much water. For in hell, there'll be no water. One of the rare privileges I had as a boy was to hear some of the best evangelists the church could have in those days. I was raised in a church as a child and believed in calling the most rugged men they could get to be their evangelists. Thank God for that type of spiritual guidance in the house.
Man.
I remember one of those early men, a man by the name of Bona Fleming that's in heaven now. Said he was in Mansfield, Ohio, or rather in the state of Ohio, in a tent revival meeting many years ago. He gave the altar call one night. A young lady and her teens were standing back in the cloud under the tent. When he gave the altar call, she was under conviction. She trembled. She held on to the chair in front of her as she stood in the altar call. She trembled under conviction as she wept and cried. Her father standing across the tent. Tapped his friend on the shoulder and he said, "Do you see my daughter over there crying? If she goes to that altar tonight, I'll wade through blood to drag her out." She didn't go. When they got home, she found her father pacing on the floor, wringing his hand. She said, "What's wrong with you, Papa?" He said, "I saw you about to go to that altar tonight, May. If you ever go to that altar, I'll beat you away from the altar with a hickory." She was a beautiful girl, 19 years of age. She went upstairs and sat out on the side of the bed and she clenched her fist. She said, "Oh God, take your spirit from me. I never intend to see you anymore. Take your spirit from me." And she went to sleep and slept like a baby. I used to think that everybody was lost, was miserable, until I found out different. It's possible, friend, for you to sear your conscience with a hot iron, to believe a lie and be damned. They go to hell perfectly satisfied, sleeping the sleep of death. My God, my God. The next morning they awakened. They went back to the tent, for they had day meetings in those days. And the evangelist preached and gave another altar call. But instead of weeping as she had the night before, they laughed and joked with her boyfriend during the altar call. Her father tapped his friend on the shoulder. He said, "Do you see my daughter over there laughing? I conquered her last night." He had conquered, but the Holy Ghost was grieved, and in a few days she was taken with a sick headache. They called the family doctor. The doctor came and he examined the girl. He said to the father, "I need to see you outside." The doctor and the father went outside. The father said, "Sir, you've called me too late. Your daughter is dying. There's nothing I can do to help her, to spare her life. If you have anything to talk to her about, you better do it now. It'll be too late to talk to her in a little while." They said you could hear that man scream for a mile down that country road. "It's bad enough to go to hell yourself, friend. It's worse to take your family with you when you leave your home." He went in and fell down to the side of the bed. He went in and fell down to the side of her bed. And he said, "Pray, babe, pray, babe, pray." And she put her hand over on his head and said, "Don't torment me, Papa, I can't pray. Since that night you told me you'd beat me away from the altar if I went. My heart's been like a stone, Papa. I can't pray. My God, my God." She said, "What time is it, Papa?" He said, "It's 4:00. She said, "Oh, this day is going so slow. But where I'm going, there'll be no time. This is the part I remember the most as a child. Made an impression on my childish mind I've never forgotten." Brother Fleming said, "Behind the old home place next door was an old moss-covered well with a wooden bucket in it." She said, "Papa, would you go to the moss-covered well? Get me a cool drink of water. For where I'm going, Papa, there'll be no water." The father went across the way and got the water, brought it back and held a glass of water to his daughter's lips while her unsaved mother, brothers and sisters, kneeled on the floor and screamed and cried and prayed. I've heard louder praying in funerals than I've ever heard in revivals. I've heard people pray so earnestly for their loved ones when they were dead. Never prayed one time for them while they were alive. Friend, if you've got any praying to do for anybody, you better do it tonight. It's going to be too late to pray for some people someday. My God, she said, Papa, my feet are on fire, Papa. My feet are on fire, Papa. The flames of hell are burning my feet, Papa. My feet are on fire. He got a hold of her, pulled her up in the bed. She said, it's not far enough, Papa. My feet are burning, Papa. My feet are on fire. I'm convinced we'd hear more deathbed testimonies like that than we do if people weren't so doped up when they got ready to die. Lord. Finally, she said, Papa, there is water left. He said, it's gone. She said, would you go back to the moss-covered well in the pasture field? Get me one more drink of water, Papa, for where I'm going. There'll be no water. The father went across the way toward the well. They called him back before he got there. They said, it's too late. She's gone. The dying words of that girl, please get me one more drink from the moss-covered well. For where I'm going, there'll be no water. If we could hear that girl screaming in hell tonight, I believe she'd still be saying, somebody bring me a drink. I'm so thirsty, I'm so thirsty, I'm so thirsty, I'm so thirsty. Somebody bring me a drink. But once you're there, friend, you'll never get a drink, for there'll be no water in hell. Finally in hell, there'll be no hope. For Abraham said to the rich man in hell, I can't bring water to you. I can't send Lazarus to you. For there's a great gulf fixed between us and you. We can't come to you. You can't come to us. For once you're in hell, friend, you're there forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. There's no hope of ever getting out once you're there. This church can become an elevator tonight. If for 5 minutes tonight we could go down and look into hell, smell the smoke, see the flame, hear the screams of people in hell for 5 minutes and then come back, I wouldn't have to make an altar call. All I'd have to do is jump out of the way and let you run to this altar. It'd be amazing who would run and how quickly you would get here. But friend, once you're in hell, you're not there for a preview. You're there forever and 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 forever. Thank God the door of mercy is open tonight. Millions have come, but there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Someday the door of mercy is going to close. You will come to that door. You will knock on it. You will say, Lord, open the door. Send some of the fellow that he brings one more sermon. Let him give one more altar call. I'll get saved. I'll get right. Once God shuts the door, he never opens it again. Once God says no, he never says yes again. What is this that I can't see? With icy hands taking hold on me, I am dead. None can excel. I open the doors to heaven or hell. I'll fix your feet so you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw so you can't talk. I'll shut your eyes so you can't see. This very hour, come go with me. Oh, mother, come to my bed. She placed a cold towel on my head. My head is hot, my feet are cold. Death is putting shackles on my soul. Death answers, you heard God's people sing and pray. You would give no heed if you walked away. You would not give your hand to bow your knee, but now you must come and go with me. Oh, death, consider my age. Please do not take me in the stage. My wealth is all in your command, and you will just lift your eyes in your hand. But death answers, the young, the old, the rich, the poor, they all alike with me must go. No land, no silver, no wealth, no gold. Nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death, how you're treating me. You're shutting my eyes so I can't see. You're stretching my limbs. You're making me cold. You're robbing the body of the soul. Oh, yes, I've come to get the soul. To rob the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh from off the frame. The word, earth and worms both have a flame. That lost soul screams out, too late! Too late! Hooray! Hooray! Go on, farewell. My doom is fixed, I'm forced to tell. As long as God in heaven shall dwell, my soul shall burn in hell. I came to this church nearly a week ago. When I came, I felt a heavy responsibility for this revival meeting. I can say tonight before God and before you, I have been faithful to that responsibility. I have preached every service of this revival what I felt was God's message for that service. The responsibility a week ago was on me. The responsibility tonight, friend, is on you. What are you going to do about it? Heads are bowed, please, and eyes are closed. Sister Janet, play softly, please.